This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A new proposal from the Obama administration moves energy companies a step closer to searching for oil off the coast of North Carolina. The Interior Department will consider opening up Atlantic waters to oil exploration over the next several years. U.S. Senators Tom Tillis and Richard Burr support the plan. They say it'll stimulate economic growth. Environmentalists have condemned it as short-sighted and a policy that would hurt wildlife and tourism. WNC environmental reporter Dave DeWitt joins me now to talk about offshore drilling in the Atlantic. Welcome back, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Last time we spoke, we talked about exploration starting sometime this year. Will it?
Well, what you'll see likely sometime this year possibly is seismic testing. They'll go out there with a boat and a long trail of equipment. They'll blast sonic waves throughout the ocean, and they'll try to determine where exactly oil might be. And then, of course, the process of getting leases sold, and then you go out and stick out a couple of dry drilling, and you try to figure out if you can actually hit something. So the seismic testing, there's already been some applications for that. It could happen this year. A lot of that will depend on whether they go out or don't go out during fishing season, whether they go out at different times of the year. There's only certain times of the year, certain windows you can do that. But it looks like that's going to happen fairly soon.
So it's interesting. I mean, if the testing hasn't started, then what kind of guesses do we have about what's out there? How much is out there? Where is it? Do we know anything about that?
In 2012, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, BOEM, which a lot of folks in North Carolina are learning what that acronym means all of a sudden. It's part of the Interior Department. They've determined that about 3.3 billion barrels of oil might be out there, and then a whole lot of natural gas as well. And that's based on a lot of estimates the last time they did testing out there, which was the early 1980s. Now, as you can imagine, technology back there was a lot different than it is now. That seems a lot of folks in the oil industry especially believe that there's a lot more out there than the 3.3 billion barrels of oil, but it's still not going to be a ton of oil when you think about it in the big picture.
To put that in perspective, 3.3 billion barrels, kind of less than a year's supply?
It's less than a year's supply if Americans use at the current rate. It's 4% of all recoverable oil in U.S. federal waters. It's 9 times smaller than what is offshore of Alaska and 16 times smaller than what is in the Gulf of Mexico. So it's not a lot, but, you know, they don't know.
But there could be more.
There could be more. There could be less.
Yeah. I like the fact that we're talking these days in North Carolina about BOEM and Google. That's just a very cool thought. So this proposal now from the federal government, this comes from the Interior Department now. President Obama can make this announcement. There are also conversations about in the state about offshore drilling that have been happening just within the state of North Carolina. So how does what happened at the federal level have an impact, or does it, on the state conversation?
Well, North Carolina, like any other state in that has a coastline, controls up to 3 miles off its coast, and then anything over 3 miles out is federal. And where you would drill for oil is always in federal waters. So an agreement usually has to be made between, like let's say the Gulf states, between the federal government and, the state of Louisiana, a revenue sharing option. So North Carolina is pushing hard for that. Governor McCrory has met with the Interior Secretary and other people. Governor McCrory co-chairs the Outer Continental Shelf Governors Association. They've been pushing really hard for oil exploration. Both North Carolina U.S. Senators Tom Tillis and Richard Burr are big supporters of searching for oil off of North Carolina's coast. And Governor McCrory has been around the state to different groups speaking about what they would do with their share of the revenue already. And his proposal, very much in the beginning stages, would be whatever revenue comes North Carolina's way would essentially stay on the coast, building infrastructure. He's talked about beach nourishment, roads, ferries, everything that happens on the state that, or on the coast that the state pays for.
Are there formulas worked out for sharing revenue just in terms of the production and extraction of oil if it's off of your coast? Does it have to be within 3 miles in order for it to go to North Carolina? Past that, it's federal revenue. How do we know how that's shared?
Well, you can go off of sort of what's happened in other states, but a lot of that is negotiated. A lot of how many jobs would it bring to North Carolina? The oil industry says it would bring, you know, maybe 55,000 jobs, 30,000 or, you know, 20,000 directly in the oil industry, 35,000 associated areas. But that's an estimate. Who knows? You know, there'd be a lot of infrastructure that would need to be built by the state of North Carolina. At the same time, we're sort of at this crossroads. You know, Oceana, a group that is more environmentally looking more toward environmental options, has said, well, look, you know, 55,000 jobs in the oil industry, but if you decide right now to invest that same amount in wind, you can get 48,000 jobs directly in that industry. So, you know, the wind industry is something that really hasn't started, not just off the state of North Carolina, but anywhere at great length in the United States. But North Carolina's got the longest coastline on the Atlantic seaboard. It has a great opportunity for wind energy. The Obama administration has also set up some areas off the northern Outer Banks and southeastern North Carolina where wind could be developed. And it would cost about the same. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of opportunities there, too. So we're kind of at this, even though it's the beginning stages of both of those, it really is a crossroads. If you choose one or the other, you know, you could really make some infrastructure and you know, get energy that way.
Of course, one of the other things you'd have to consider is that if you invest in renewables, that's kind of an ongoing investment. Obviously, fossil fuel has an endpoint. It does stop at some point. And so that's one of the factors that you would weigh in this calculation about which jobs you want to promote.
Right. And market forces play a huge – we've seen that in fracking in North Carolina. While the regulatory things have been pushing forward, what is stopping fracking now and maybe in the near future is that gas prices. Natural gas prices are so low that looking for natural gas in North Carolina doesn't make economical sense.
Well, how do we do the math on that? Let's just talk about making the investment. Let's say you want to continue to mine the last drop of fossil fuel until it's finally gone. And we said right now we're looking at less than a year's supply. And obviously price the price is volatile. So if it goes way, way up, it becomes more attractive. But what are the infrastructure costs? What does it cost to do the exploration, the drilling, and then the extraction, not to mention the transportation? And does that ever make sense for 8 months worth of oil?
Well, again, market forces will determine that. And, you know, the oil industry is – they've done this before. They've done it in Louisiana, Mississippi. They've done it in Alaska. So the infrastructure can be built. North Carolina's coastline is a little bit different than a lot of others because of the Outer Banks and some tourism that has been – you know, there for a long time. And so what's interesting is how these different industries are going to work together or not work together. The tourism industry in North Carolina is a $4 billion, $5 billion a year business on the coast. So that industry is going to have a lot to say about what happens because they've got powerful lobbyists, not just in Raleigh, but also, you know, in Washington. So when you've got the oil industry, which is pretty powerful, you've got, you know, tourism, fisheries are, you know, and then fishing in North Carolina is, you know, a big industry as well. So you're going to have a lot of industries who have a lot of different interests working this out over the next decade and a half.
We're talking about the prospect of offshore drilling off the coast of North Carolina today on The State of Things. Environmental reporter Dave DeWitt is with me. He talked about the tourist industry. What has that lobby said so far about this?
Not much. I mean, I think you've seen some people talk about they'd be concerned about whether there'd be oil rigs. They're concerned as well as whether there'd be, you know, windmills out there. So, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, while you see a lot of political support for this among Republicans, statewide Republicans, U.S. senators, this coast of North Carolina is largely dominated politically by Republicans as well, or old school Democrats who may as well be Republicans or as people who switch parties. So you're going to see a lot of battling within that party specifically. And one of the interesting things, you know, you see that in little ways right now. The federal Obama administration rules that were just proposed would go 50 miles and out oil exploration. And that has Tom Tillis a little bit upset. He thinks it should be a little bit closer because it costs less for the oil industry. The farther out they go, the more it will cost them. You know, the Deepwater Horizon was about, I think, 45 miles away. So I think you're seeing sort of this push-pull already between not only Democrats and Republicans. You're going to see it within the Republican Party in North Carolina.
And Deepwater Horizon reminds us that you can be 45 miles out and create an enormous environmental disaster. What have environmentalists said about this?
Well, they're not happy, obviously. And I think you see a lot of the trade-off within the Obama administration, because when this was announced that the Atlantic seaboard might be open, or the proposed that it would be open, they closed off big parts of Alaska. And they certainly aren't going to open anything on the Pacific side anytime soon. And the northern part of the Atlantic seaboard is not going to be open. It's really interesting to see where this was open. It's opened off of the coast of states in which you have support for this, political support. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. Florida, very interestingly, not exactly a blue state, but Florida is off limits both on the Atlantic side and on the Gulf side. And so environmentalists are pointing to, look, if you're going to close off the areas around Alaska because they're, you know, ecologically sensitive, North Carolina is a pretty ecologically sensitive and complicated place, and they're saying you can't open that up for the same reason.
And you point to Florida, not just environmentalists who blocked it there, but in fact there the tourism industry was
very powerful in keeping it.
So what's the next step? What's the next thing that happens and when?
Well, there's going to be this seismic testing is going to take place, and how much is going to be there will be determined over the course of a couple of years. You're going to see lawsuits, you're going to see the regulatory process move very slowly. And that's why you see this process takes a long time. And that's why when you get to the point, there may be no market for it, but there may be a bigger market for it, depending on how a lot of things go. There won't be a drill pumping oil until 2026 if all the regulatory hurdles get crossed in a timely fashion. So this is a long way off. The only thing that takes longer than this is building a nuclear power plant. It takes a long time to get this going. That ball is rolling now, though, and it's rolling downhill for the first time in 30 years.
All right, Dave, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, WUNC's environmental reporter. Just ahead, we're going to talk with musician Branford Marsalis about his latest work and his upcoming appearance in Durham. Talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.